less impact than forcing them to haul all the way around the bay. But there's nobody that can look at that overall problem. DEQ says, get the logs out of the water, and that's really the limit of its jurisdiction. We need to be able to look at the whole concept and provide guidelines on the overall use. And I think that the Land Conservation Development Commission could do that. The same is true with Kiwanda, where you have several agencies operating with some jurisdictions, but they really don't have a chance to look at the overall impact.
Well, maybe we're on the same wavelength, but just on different departments. But I agree with the need for guidelines, but I don't agree, and perhaps you're not saying it, with vesting authority over discharge permits and that kind of thing with this other agency.
No,
you're not.
No, I'm not suggesting that, but I'm suggesting that guidelines would help us look at the overall impact.
But not as far as, but you wouldn't propose guidelines with respect to discharge. You believe that would be useful.
Yes.
If we pass this bill, I know there are certain things that come into play at different times, but if I recall it correctly, there's the our definition of areas of critical concern. Did that go into immediate effect for our sector?
Areas of critical concern go in 1 year after we have to set up the new department, and then they develop their guidelines, which are in this case our objectives and regulations for critical areas, 1 year after. So it doesn't go in immediately. You have to set the thing up and develop.
But that still is prior to the time that there's currently going to be a station of the Oregon Coastal Conservation Development Commission. And so then my question would be, this is laying over their work, and there would be, although we say at one point we're going to work with them, actually we're not going to work with them earlier.
Well, and watching the OCCDC itself function, it's taken it really a year and a half to gear up. It's just beginning now to have some kind of an impact. Its job is only a planning function, and the statute 16 and 17, I think it is, whatever the provisions are in the bill, provides an interface. So there is a working with it. They'll be hopefully pretty well done with their work of proposing a plan. Now there is additional legislation being proposed to give them an interim permit authority during the period while the LCDC is gearing up and coming out with guidelines. That interim permit authority would try to get at some of the abuses, like building a sand on sand spit. Concern, there's only the public nuisance enforcement capability. In the activities of critical concern, there is a permit authority. But you can't really bring a public nuisance action or suit until... Yes, and the nuisance wouldn't be created until the guidelines came down. I mean, you couldn't identify what the nuisance was. There's common law nuisance too, but within the statute, frankly. Covering what area?
Grandfathering existing grandfathering in developments that were existing at the time of the effective date of the Act. There is.
Okay. Well, only in the sense, Senator, that the state is taken as it is at the time the bill was passed and thereafter any new activity. Area determined to be a
The closest precedent lies in the rules published by the Attorney General under ORS 183. There's a petition for a rule, and the rule may or may not be broader than an individual action, but it's somewhat comparable, or at least I would conceive of it as somewhat comparable to that kind of a procedure.
Well, there, though, you have to have standing in order to bring a suit, don't you? In order to get jurisdiction, there has to be standing on the part of the petitioner. It has to be agreed that the word.
Well.
Now, you're going to broadly extend the definition of standing.
I would use the word any aggrieved person, and I think, you know, under the Sierra Club suit, Mineral King, if we're using that kind of a definition of standing, that there would be adequate protection on both sides.
Right. But when you use the expression suits, are you talking about an administrative suit in five court to be, but you're really talking about petition to intervene in an administrative hearing rather than standing in court?
We propose two. I think we would prefer the citizen suit, where we could go into
a lawsuit.
But we're suggesting that you may not be able to see your way clear to go that far, and at the bare minimum, we would like to have a petition procedure whereby we could file with LCDC if we thought there was a public nuisance, and they would make a determination, and then the normal appellate procedures would take place after that.
Something in the way of a remonstrance from the Planning Commission, that type of thing.
Yes, we would want to make sure that they had to take action, and it couldn't just be slid under the table somewhere.
But you trust the new commission?
Well,
we don't trust the local or the city planning. We don't trust that zoning. We don't trust the counties. Now you're saying you don't even trust the new city with the new state one.
Well, Senator, they could find against the citizens group. I could see some pretty radical things being called public nuisances by citizens groups that nobody would agree to. But I think that if you're going to have citizen participation that's really adequate, the commission owes a duty to the citizens to make some decision on it. And if you wanted even a certiorari type decision where, all right, we've made a decision, we won't hear that case, but they still have to vote that they won't hear the case.
May I ask, Steve, what different are you proposing than we already have in the appeal section on page 31, section D there, petitioned by any person or group of persons, the provision of an adopted comprehensive plan or an action taken by this council, which is...
This is neither a plan nor an action taken by a district council. This is something that occurs in the area of critical concern. Now, we don't have any permit procedure in the area of critical concern. It's just activity. And if in fact there is some particular activity that occurs in that area of critical concern that wouldn't fall into the definition of activity, there's great outcry about, well, subdivisions, for instance, or some other kind of smaller development. It would be, I think, in the best interest of the state to resolve that conflict. Say, all right, we've looked at your problem, we don't think it's relevant, or we've looked at your problem and we think that there ought to be some action taken on it, and we'll declare a public nuisance.
If there's any action taken, in other words, could an action be a negative thing? In other words, a failure to take action, the difference really? Where if you can take it on an action in a critical area, which I assume we could, it seems to me that this perhaps perhaps we need to broaden the language here, and that
would
be the problem.
Well, it's possible to bring it in under that petition procedure, yes, but it really deals with actions of district council and plans. That's the only two things it covers, and we don't think that that's broad enough for critical areas.
Other questions, Steve? Thanks.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Senator.
George Beal, did you want to talk to us? Mm-hmm.
Just one additional comment. In addition to being a member of the board of the Oregon Shores Conservation Coalition, I also wear a coastal hat since I own down there and am a resident in Tillamook County. And I just
what is your address?
My address is Twin Rocks, Post Office Box 404, Rockaway. The additional element I just want to report to you, I've had many conversations with homeowners there and elsewhere, particularly in Lincoln County, and the consensus among them is that the areas of critical concern as spelled out in SB 100 should be widened considerably. They have the feeling that number one, they should include cities because it's in the cities, Lincoln City being one of them, that has some of the types of problems that are very critical concern. Not only people in Lincoln City, but to the whole state. And some of the people who have farms and want to protect the farms for farming think that areas of critical concern should also be extended to include some of the floodplain and agricultural areas. I believe that some of those representatives may be here tonight, and if so, they can speak to their concerns about widening areas of critical concern. Other than that, I certainly endorse all of the comments that Steve has made, and so does our membership.
Now, the It might not be in one of these designated areas of critical concern, but immediately becomes an area of critical concern to us. So I'd like to see some way of being able to be flexible on this, and the other thing is having the people say what they think the areas of critical concern. And the ones that are listed here, to me it's kind of funny because the state parks are an area of critical concern. Well, I would think they're pretty well protected. And in section B here of under 3 on line 5, recreation primitive wilderness areas on lands administered. Yeah, they're critical concern and something's been done about them. But what about areas that are going to be considered as wilderness areas? There's where the real critical concern is. Should we have Boulder Creek, a wilderness area? Should we build a ski resort on Mount Bailey? These are the things that are critical down there to us. And also this I don't really understand in here if this takes care of how it affects the federal government's part. Now we're all wound up with the federal government down there, and one of our big problems is our dealings with the federal government, because being an ONC county, we're sort of a charity case, and a political fact of life down there is that political decisions are made with this in mind, because we really don't want to do anything that the BLM doesn't want us to do, or they won't wreck the formula. So there this is in there too. Could we go out, for instance, and say, well, Boulder Creek's an area of critical concern. It's in the forest. It's in this forest. How far can we push on that? How much support could we expect from the state helping us to do that on Forest Service lands and BLM lands? These lines that are drawn are, well, like I say, a person that's outside this might think that he should be inside. Now on the activities, it's the same thing on the activities. The activities are of critical concern. Planning and siting of airports, the state and federal highways, and this thing. But the activities that are critical concern to us are the activities that somebody's going to come in there and do tomorrow, and we have no idea what they're going to be. Now, when this happens to us in Douglas County, somebody comes in there and they want to do something like that wildlife safari down there. The first thing we do is say, well, what can we do about this? And so who do we turn to? There's no water. Should that thing be there? So we say, well, there doesn't seem to be any way to stop it under the present county situation, so we look to the state. But then would this bill here, because this activity is not considered a critical concern and it's not in a critical area, would the state say, well, we can't help you? And really, what people in down the local level now, they feel the state is their last hope. I mean, this is kind of putting us in a bad spot to come up and talk about this, because we do want the state to do something. We want the state to help us, and they are helping us if they can. And yet, so we'd like to have something like this. But then there's these things in here that doesn't really answer our needs that we haven't had input onto, or there doesn't seem to be any continuing way for a direct public input into identifying areas of critical concern. So on those two things, section 31 and 32, I don't think that reflects enough local input. I don't think it's flexible enough, and I suggest that it either be completely deleted, and they say, well, all of the state of Oregon is an area of critical concern, or they say any citizen of Oregon can say this is an area of critical concern, and his statement will be considered as making that an area of critical concern. you have any questions? I just didn't find myself to raise these things.
Thank you, Mr. Bikes. Are there questions?
$21 million budget in Douglas County,
$2 million of it is raised out of taxes on the people in the county. Now, as a practical matter, if we're putting $2 million into a $21 million budget, how much actual say do we have? How much actual stick do we carry? Not a heck of a lot. That's what I say. We especially down there feel the need we feel close to the state. We feel the state can help us. We feel the state should come down there and, like an interim committee, and ask us, what do you think your areas of critical concern? What are the problems you've been having? And this type of thing. Now you turn around and here's, you're going to kill Al Flagel with this bill. If he has to go on that council. He's on the COG. Now, he's on the EDA, the CCDIEA. He's a county commissioner. He's on the OCC in D.C. Two things. We're paying him to be a county commissioner. Now, how come the state come and took him away from his job and put him on all these things where he's off somewhere? Okay, we got Ray. Ray, his big job is keeping the ONC fund. All right, he's either in Washington or Salem or somewhere. We go up to county courthouse. There's Stanford sitting there. Well, Stanford isn't there anymore. He says, I can't do anything. The other two commissioners are gone. And now you want to put Al, because Al would be the guy that'd be on this council. He's the one they put on all these councils. Now you want to put him on that. He had a heart attack over at the OCC. DC meeting. And he's going to have, I really don't see him. But anyway, as I say, what I'm trying to get across is that the local people are looking to the state to help them. And the local people have a lot of questions to ask. The local people would like to know what the state laws and rules are. The local people get along real good with the state resource agency because they know who they are. There's Dave Anderson over there. There's Sheets up there on the DQ. And so we're all for you trying to help us in solving the problems of areas of critical concern. But the questions are, how do we stop the subdivision from moving in here? How do we assure that we're going to have, before the subdivision moves in, there's going to be water and sewage? How do we actually do this? So there's more than just planning. There's also this very real and present threat to us. And lots of times, it doesn't seem to be any way to stop it at all. And so I'd like to have you take this into consideration, in that we don't want a highly structured thing that we have to go through that separates us from our state legislators, from our state people, and especially, well, like our state resource agencies. And also, we'd like to have some help in standing up the federal government. The Army engineers come in there, and you talk about subdividers. The Army engineers, they're like the Army, what they're like. I mean, if you're a demonstrator and a tank is chasing you down the street, you say, stop, don't do this, I'm a citizen. They say, we got our orders. You know, well, the Army engineers come in there and you say, look, this is going to wreck the ecology here. This is going to wreck the social fabric of this area. And they'll say, well, our directives are that we're supposed to do this and this and this. We've been asked to do it by the Port Commission, and that's what's going to happen. And you talk to them privately, and they'll say, yeah, this is going to wreck the social fabric of this district by putting a dam in here. But we haven't been asked to examine what it's going to do to the social fabric. And as far as the dam's concerned, it's really great. It'll set there for 50 years, and then it'll be full of mud, and then so what? But anyway, I mean, the people need some help in combating this sort of thing where the federal moves in with all this money, and the people down there in Douglas County say, well, when the money's coming out the federal spout, we'd be damn fools if we didn't have a bucket under it. You know, but still, they know it's not good, but there's no way of, say, implementing some projects of water impoundment, for instance, with state help, so that we say we don't have to have a day. But anyway, what the main thing I want to get across today is that we're all for you. the local people are, and we appreciate your efforts along these lines, and we're real encouraged that you're looking at this issue.
My name is Wilbur Salzbach. I live at Route 3, Box 560, Sandy. This is in Clackamas County. I came down this morning to...
Could you spell your name for our secretary?
Oh, my name is spelled S-U-L-Z-B-A-C-H. I came to speak for the Senate Bill 100 because I see it as a possible way of organizing the effort to protect my county and the rest of the state, and to bring order in a very complex situation of protection of natural beauty and environmental protection that floods us at the present time. I see we've got a lot of natural beauty to protect, and we need a good plan. I see that an error in too much protection could be easily corrected in the future, but if we neglect protection, the error becomes irreversible. What is destroyed can't be replaced. My experience with local and county planning commissions leads me to wish for a larger body with people on it that have no concern with real estate deals on the local scene, because in my own community of Sandy, I've seen conflict of interest be rather rampant. And my own county's planning commission is now under investigation. So we really need this broad plan where the state makes the broad rules. I'm not certain, but I think, and I would like to be corrected on this, I think the Mount Hood Freeway corridor is considered in the bill, is it not, Senator Burns? That it speaks of all interstate highways.
We've been asked to include it.
Very glad if it is, because there's some developments up around rhododendron in the way of that make driving to the mountain something less than a pleasure. Perhaps the Sandy River corridor will be eventually covered. I hope it will be included. The Clackamas River corridor is now protected, is it not, on the basis of the vote last November. That's right. The bill speaks of scenic drives. I would like to ask if the scenic drive along the Columbia that goes by all the Multnomah Falls and other waterfalls that will be protected. I would like to also bring to your attention the Barlow Trail. I would urge that the bill be amended to allow its inclusion. I lived on a portion of the Barlow Trail for a couple of years on Marmot Road north of Sandy, and frequently drive along the road. It is largely unspoiled at the Craig Markham. I'm representing the Oregon affiliates of the City Council of Chapters of Sierra Club, of which there are 1,923 members in Oregon. My address is Sherwood, Oregon. M-A-R-K-H-A-N. I'm appearing for the second time regarding Senate Bill 100 in order to change part of my original testimony regarding scenic waterways, which is Section 31, Sub 1, Page 13. I suggested that the 30 January hearing that the entire watershed emptying into the designated scenic waterways be designated as areas of critical state concern, with the assumption that most of this land would lie within federal land. Upon further study, I found that about 23% of the private land of the state, 11% of the total area of the state, lies within the drainage of competing scenic waterways. There's not a lot of land, about 10,000 square miles. I feel that most of this area is presently of a non-critical nature, except for the immediate designated areas of the scenic waterways. The law, Senate Bill 100, when passed, can be amended if any of these watersheds become endangered in the future. My philosophy considering criteria for critical areas is something like as follows, that some areas of the state may be of interest or concern but are not critical. Human geography, designated use, potential for disuse or destruction are criteria which come to mind when we're attempting to determine whether or not an area actually is critical. And I take this into account when I suggest that entire watersheds, shown in orange on the map, of the emptying into scenic waterways not be designated as critical. Designation as a scenic waterway appears imminent, the Sandy River. The Sandy River watershed is quite small, only 516 square miles, of which only 128 square miles are private land. It is important that this watershed, particularly that portion known as the Mount Hood Corridor, be designated as an area of critical state concern. Its proximity to Portland and the influences of urban encroachment, its tremendous value as a recreation area, and its recognition as a prime candidate for inclusion in the state scenic waterway system, make it both an endangered and a precious area of statewide interest. In summary, incorporating what I've said, I'd like Section 31 Sub 1 to be left as it now reads, and to please add a subsection in Section 31, which reads, and I quote, "The entire watershed of the Sandy River, beginning at Dabney State Park and extending upland, with any scenic waterway designations thereon, being administered in accordance with ORS 390.805 to 390.925. If I could
have that written, or
Yes, I do. I have sufficient copies to give to the entire committee. A brief comment on some of the slides we saw this morning. They could have also been given as a presentation by some of the less reputable realtors on the coast, as entitled Ocean View Lots as a Renewable Resource. Put them here this year, they'll be gone next year, and you can sell them all over again. It's very handy. Thank you.
Questions? If not, we can have copies of that. We appreciate it. Sylvia, is it worth that?
Stop developers in that they couldn't make it on
5-acre plot, but even tonight, that is being attacked where they want to reduce it to R2, which is a new designation, and but all the junk provisions of R1, RA1 goes into it, plus condominiums and PUDs right on this drainage area, right on the Cascade Range, just 3 miles from us. This is quite a large stream, and should be protected because the Clackamas River is to be a source of drinking water for much of the whole area. Lake Oswego has a 24-inch main now from the Clackamas. And with I-205 going through, with more industrialization, we are going to have that many more people. And this area would be, should be preserved as it is. It has so many springs coming through that it really isn't a good place for development. And we've worked through Fish Commission and conservation and so forth and couldn't get anywhere. So we think it shouldn't be polluted. And the thing is that if we wait until this commission is in action and then present a petition, it's going to take us a long time and we have no time. On the Clackamas River being protected, there's only 12 miles of it that is protected in the measure that we got on the ballot. And that is being attacked because we are not a home rule county. So it could still be thrown out. The river is gone from Carver to the mouth at Gladstone. And we felt that if we could save 12 miles of it, we might be able to work on the upper end then later on. But if that goes up, and if this holds, we might be able to do planning through the ballot, things we did with the river. Deposit. That's the only thing they protected in the whole thing. Now it's being amended
Head Road, RHODES 4071 Donald Street in Eugene. Do you want to tell them some of your background? Well, myself, I can give you a little bit of background myself to give you some type of reference that I have. I attended a Athens Center of Logistics under the direction of a man named Constantine Doxiadis, which is a internationally known city planner and urban planner for the last year, as well as being a Vietnam veteran myself. We've produced these two drawings here, hopefully to bring some reference to what we've been trying to find out about Senate Bill 100 ourselves, and in the area and the amount of area that it does cover. We went through five subsections, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, breaking down the areas and then trying to estimate roughly the amount of acreage that is going to be involved and put under the state control. And we can go down through the breakdown, but we went down and just came up with a total figure of the land that will be under the control of both the federal and the state level, including Senate Bill 100, which will be about 64.65% of the entire state land. Presently, if you just take the U.S. Forest Service, the National Park Service, the BLM land, the state park, and the county and city park, as a total, it comes out to approximately 54% of the land. So you're only adding, with this Senate Bill 100, about 10% more land under the control of the state, under the areas of critical state concern.
This, I might add, is the fringe boundaries around the freeways or scenic highways. It is the coastal area. There were several other items that needed to be clarified, and these hopefully will point that out. This yellow area is just a visual indication. We have actually BLM maps showing.
I think it would be probably helpful to the people that are really too. If you look up against the train question where you're getting at.
Yes, sir.
Look on the screen, it's 65.5%.
64.65%.
4.5%.
No, that's what will. That is.
4.5% will be under state or federal control.
That's correct. Including Senate Bill 100.
Now, the question is, do you understand that by this bill, if an activity of critical concern is to occur in that 35.5%, do you think that you feel that that's the best protect? You have 35% or 34 or whatever it is.
Right, there'd be still quite a bit of area open. In other words, all those activities will not cover 35% of the land.
Well, activities,
the activities don't really fall under those areas anyhow. The activity is just one set thing when you're talking of an airport or a nuclear power plant and so forth.
You're talking about, you can put an airport any place in, within 100%, okay?
Right. Under private control.
Yeah. That is not federally or state.
Right.
BLM.
Now my question is, would you feel that activities of critical control are not broad enough to protect the other 35.5% of the land?
I wouldn't want to answer.
I just want to know what your understanding of the building. I don't know the answer myself.
We don't. That the activities then would cover that rest, be enough control to cover the other 35%? It depends on what the total objectives and goals of the entire Senate Bill 100 are.
This is a graphic indication of the BLM land in yellow inside the state. The green areas, of course, are the federal lands. The brown area is the wilderness area. We've started to graph out some of the scenic waterways. I mean, we put all scenic waterways on. We also tried to put the scenic
by acreage. And these vary from a half of an acre. For example, if you take a park that is a half acre or 1 acre in size and go a quarter mile around the perimeter of that, you are then taking 168 acres in under control. Well, that's a 150%, well, it's more than 150%, 1,500% increase. So your land that you're taking under state control increases quite rapidly in small parks. And it would also seem more reasonable to just include, from my perspective, the BLM land and the federal land. Then you would only have to worry about state parks or county parks that are outside of incorporated areas. If in fact you can even control a park that's inside of federal land. Are there any other questions, comments?
I had a question. I really question your mathematics. I'm wondering if you really did your homework right, and if you didn't, you started off with a preemption of all state and federal lands, of which 54% you said were in either state or federal.
Our state.
And then you said you increased it by 10%, and I suspect there's an order of, no, that's...
No, we broke down and went through each of the calculations by each subsection, down like each river, and came up with the...
Yes, but did you eliminate that part of the river that you had entered in your calculations that was already under state or federal control?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, we can break, which we've broken down.
Read off the Rogue and the Illinois River.
Well, like on the Rogue River itself has approximately 15,360 acres in the Forest Service area itself. In the BLM area, there's about 12,800 acres, and that fact makes up the whole Rogue River. Government-controlled land already.
Therefore, you eliminated that from any,
right.
Any threw it out, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And it goes on down through the whole calculation.
Well, where do you come up then with 10% of the state?
It's the fringe areas around the boundary of the
parks, the roads,
and
the highways,
and around freeways. For example, on the roadways themselves, there are. There are 3,481 lineal miles under the scenic highway bill.
If how much now, this is a stop right there, how much of that now is already under state or federal control?
Most of that did not appear to be under state or federal control. If you'll notice, it's not in the BLM land area.
Well, but it might be in the forest land area. Most of it, as I understand, it is in the forest land area.
Of the scenic
highways, if you look at the red over on this side, of course, the other one we look, there's a section through here that is, but it gets out, this is outside the boundary. This, your boundary, your land.
Okay.
You are, there are areas of overlap. This is correct.
There also becomes the problem of, let's take for the example of subsection 7 under section 31, which designates, says all lands within the area bounded on the west by the mouth of the Sandy River, on the north by the ordinary high water line of the Columbia River, and on the east by the western boundary of the city of the Dalles, and on the south by the ridge of the cliffs of the Columbia River Gorge. Now it becomes very difficult to define what are the ridge of the cliffs of the Columbia Gorge,
right,
except for in one small segment. And that, how do you define the rest of it? Down over by the Dalles and down over by the Sandy River, where the ridge line is.
Now, how did you do this?
We came out and said that, well, okay, it looks like there's approximately about a 2 mile area wide that we could say goes along that whole frickin'. And we would assume that's what you're trying to designate. But we're not sure because you can come down very wide on the Dalles end and also on the Sandy River end.
Of course, obviously, quite a little of that also would be under state or federal control.
Yeah, and so you get a great deal of conflict back and forth, and it became a task just trying to figure out and define how and which what fell under what.
Well, these were indications that we felt would get the area covered. They are to be considered estimates and indications because we could not factor in it in one weekend conclude the exact square footage of acres.
What I think is significant is the fact that the amount of land that is trying to be put under control as area.
covering the entire state. You're going to cover all the land within the whole state. I think that's the significant point that should be made.
Well, I've been saying that it was definitely less than 10% of the state's area of state, so when you come up with a bigger more, well, I want to find out how you get that way.
Well, 11% more.
It's only 11% more.
But what you're saying is that it needs to be more precisely defined.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For example, the question I would say, if you are putting, as stated in here, B
ways in which we could attack this problem, and I thought, inasmuch as there would be no other time, we better get this introduced in the testimony at this time, and I think Senator Ripple will be right along. So perhaps you'd like to start on that part that was requested by Senator Thorne. Robert Logan, local government relations for the record.
Gary Hill, the artist. I think that the first map that was shown, or first chart really, is basically a description of what it would be dealing with each individual government unit. But it would show what it would be like dealing with each governmental unit individually. And I think, you know, just by way of explaining it, there are 36 counties, there are 237 cities, and there's about, nobody really knows for sure, but there's an estimated 1,200 special purpose districts. These are water districts, sewer districts, park and recreation districts. And I think one of the key aspects of this is that as it relates to land use, a water district makes as much of a land use decision as does a city or a county when they extend a water line, or when they extend a sewer line, or when they build a new facility. And so what we've attempted to show is that any type of direct state-local relationship is going to involve having to deal with special districts as well as with the cities and counties. And it's going to mean, in a sense, the state would meld this together. The second chart that we prepared would be trying to use, and it basically, I'm not sure it shows what our intent was, but in Oregon there are 36 counties. There are, at this present time, there are 5 counties that have county home rule, which gives them certain ordinance-making powers that the general statute counties don't have. But one of the thoughts that it could be used, and which we've shown there, is that the county could be the agency for blending some of this planning together. And that if instead of the state dealing with 237 cities and the 1,500 or 1,200 special districts, that instead we could attempt to have the county and give the county the statutory power to blend the city and special district plans together. Now what this means is that there'd have to be a change, and I'm not sure it might even require a vote, because you do get into the constitutional question of whether a law of this type could overrule some of the home rule powers of a city. We received an attorney general's opinion here a couple of years ago in regard to consolidation of counties, and that was that the state legislature could consolidate non-home rule counties just by a legislative act, but that in cases of home rule counties, it probably would require a vote of the people of that area to get their permission. Now the question might be posed, if a county was given the authority over city plans, I'm sure you could do it on special district plans, but if it was over city plans, there might be a question of the violation of the home rule of the Constitution. You might have to have a vote. I don't know on that one. It might be research. It does offer the possibility of only 36 agencies. You also have, it has to be considered, some of the jealousies that do in fact exist between cities and counties and their prerogatives. Somebody, as envisioned in that second graph, would be that the county would have the power to say to resolve the conflict among the various local government units. Now the third one that we've done, is, and we have some maps on this. It says there is a critical state concern, but it's only because we in fact use that chart. But we, this is kind of a test. We cut the state into seven areas, and this is what Senator Ripple was speaking to. And as you see, we have, actually it follows pretty close to Newburgh's plan back in about the 1950s to reorganize the county, except we had 7 instead of 8. But it recognizes the OCPDC, which is 1. It recognizes the Portland metropolitan area, Columbia, Washington, Clackamas, and Multnomah as being a separate area. that we drew a line there was that there are about 400 units of local government just in that four county area, and of course about 1 million people, and we felt that perhaps it should be dealt with separately because of the complexity of the problem. The third district would be the remainder of the Willamette Valley, and this includes the remaining counties of Yamhill, Polk, and Marion, Benton and Lynn, and Lane County, making six counties. A Southern Oregon group, which would be made up of Douglas and Jackson Josephine. The fifth group would be the Deschutes Basin, which is basically the northern part of Klamath County, from about Gilcrest or Chamal, in approximately that area, is where the Deschutes Basin starts. So quite a bit of it. Flows all together down to the Columbia River. Of course, there is another drainage basin which goes south, which is the Klamath River. The sixth district would be Wheeler, Gillam, Morrow, Umatilla, Wallowa, and Union counties, which I guess is basically kind of the counties that have influence from the Columbia River. And then the large area of the remaining part of the state, Lake, Harney, Malheur, Grand, and Baker. Now, we're just throwing these out on the table, not that they're perfect and not that there are any changes, but perhaps to show that Senator Ripple was talking about an alternate pattern. This also somewhat relates to the OCPDC. I brought a couple copies of that bill for your information, because I think it is applicable. And this is the Oregon Coastal Conservation and Development Commission bill, and if you were to pick the, say this proposal was 7, and this alternate is 7, it might be consideration giving to the wording in the OCCDC, which basically charges them with developing an overall plan. It speaks to still that there is local planning, and that these larger units are to meld the various local government plans within the jurisdictional areas together. I think there's probably advantages and disadvantages in some of these combinations, but this is again something to think about. Now, let me comment on one other thing, and then I'd like to get back to the bigger one, and that is that Mr. Duran was mentioning that of what we went through to develop the original 14. I have to stress again that this was a process of public involvement, official involvement, legislative involvement, and in fact, it was really with quite a bit of input from people all over the state before the 14 district boundaries of state agencies were in fact drawn. We also, in 1971, sent out letters again to every legislator, state agency, city and county, saying, what do you think about the 14 districts? Would you go to some different combination? How do you like it? And the overwhelming response was that they were, while there was some dissatisfaction, they were basically happy with the 14 districts as organized. And that, sure, some of the counties were a little upset because they had to drive great distances, but they weren't confronted with the alternative. They didn't. Another thing we brought up was that, I'd like to go back to this larger map. Something we also brought up is kind of a concept. And basically, in this seven-unit one, if it was like our pattern, if the committee and the legislature decided to develop it similar to the OCCDC, there's a possibility that you could use a kind of a three-level type of approach, as we've shown on that chart, and that is that the county coordinating committee, and this spoke to what Senator Ripple was talking about the county actually developing the planning program, and then this being implemented into a larger region, the regional council, and then finally into the state land conservation and development commission or department. And the idea was again to set up a process whereby it flowed from the local to the state. We still envision using that proposal, and after just a little analysis, but again, probably about 90% of the planning or 95% of the planning would be done within that that local area.
Would you give Senator Ripper just a brief rundown of what we're specifically on here now?
Senator, I was just showing him in response to your suggestion, Cal or Mr. Ranska, that the one map. This is the OCCDC type of proposal in which we had seven regions instead of the 14. As you can see, number one would be the coastal area, and then separating two in the Willamette Valley, one in southern Oregon, one in central Oregon, and two in eastern Oregon. And basically, we would envision, and as you suggested, in which we developed, was a county coordinating committee. And then this in turn would be the overall county plan melded into a regional plan, and finally into a state planning program at the state level. On one of the breakouts, we've shown what some of the functions would be in terms of time and what have you. But, and I've also given copies of the OCCDC bill, which shows the various planning duties and planning activities.
Did I follow you now on the county coordinating committee? Do you think we can coordinate, but we can't give them specific, because of the home rule of cities, we can't require the counties to impose anything upon the cities. Now, but the coordinating committee fits within, there's no problem there.
There's no problem in terms of the coordinating committee.
This would be essentially a voluntary, what happens if a city gets mad with a county coordinating committee? If the city and the county don't get along, what happens?
We didn't get as far as if they got mad in thinking. I think that, again, if you go to an agency like this, the thought's got to be given to whether it's going to be, in fact, a local agency still, or a state agency. Now, if you'll notice on the OCCDC is a state agency, and has been designated a state agency for this planning effort. One alternative might be to consider these groupings as a state agency instead of a local agency. And this, of course, would mandate membership if it was a state agency. Now, on one of the other proposals, Senator Ripper, which I mentioned, the second one, which is past all the dots. Those dots represent, by the way, in the first phase, 36 counties and 237 cities and about 1,200 special districts, all of which plan. The second proposal looks at the idea of the county being the designated planning agency. And basically what, in speaking to, did you get the, yeah, this one right here. What we were thinking about here was, I'm not sure if it's covered in graphic, was the idea of looking from the state to the county, and the county being the unit that would blend all of the city and the special district plans together. And that in a sense you would be giving the county the power to say no to a city or a special district. Because they would have to make a decision between, like in Clackamas County, between Lake Oswego and West Lynn as to what land use is going to prevail or what happens outside the city limits. That's a third possibility. And again, it reduces the number of bodies the state has to deal with. I think there's some grave problems if we, as our number one, in terms of just sheer numbers.
Well, I think
we did both because we weren't sure, and that's one of the reasons we did three instead of two. Because it's a mess in terms of numbers.
But
there might be a possibility. I haven't checked with council at all that if the legislature deems this to be an area of critical state concern, that they could so designate counties to be the prime planning agency for land use.
We need to look into the constitutional question. Maybe John could look into that for us to see whether that's anything for us to even explore. Certainly, we've overcome it in your third proposal here, which meets a lot of the objections we've had. How does this one, the third one, where we do leave the counties with their coordinating committee, essentially then you've got a county unit, but you still have a regional overall group rather than going directly to the state.
county as the unit to blend city and special district plans together.
With no intermediate unit between that and the state, so I, you know, that was what I was thinking at the time. And I have some more information coming in the mail that's supposed to be here today.
Well, frankly, this reduces the number of bodies that you have to deal with.
So the direction was, if you could explore this one aspect for it. The problems begin were the matter of whether the county could in fact be a coordinating unit for all the subunits of government within it, particularly the cities who have home rule powers.
Mr. Chairman, just a point of interest. I think that on that second proposal, we would actually be looking at the county as more than just coordinating. It would be given the right, as I understood what you were saying, to say no to a city or a county. If in fact their land use proposal didn't blend in with some overall county proposal. This is what I think what we were intending on this decision.
So Jack, have you had an opportunity, or we came in a little bit late on this, to express where of these things we hope to take back? We need to take back something to this work session tomorrow, and I wanted to explore as far as we could in the very limited time we had here, maybe a preliminary thoughts, and then ask for additional time to study it, but indicate perhaps to the committee, the full committee, what direction we want.
Two pretty definite plans. We probably ought to take both of them.
It might well be
bigger groups of us, because I think it's a pretty deep-rooted feeling. I would suggest that, wouldn't you? I think we should go back on not a plan, but we've got alternatives.
We could, of course, express if we so desired a preference of one over the other, and I assume that
I think it's pretty easy to rule out number one in my own estimate. I didn't intend to really buy that.
We got rid of one. Circles on there.
You could have put a lot of circles, or not many circles, with the concept I had.
We weren't sure whether we had understood John at all.
I presume now tomorrow this will be the major topic of the whole committee.
I think not. I think that there is to be a presentation by the cities, counties, AOI, and there's a four-group presentation.
There's a presentation tomorrow. I mean tonight.
No, that is to be made tomorrow, is my understanding of that one. We will be hearing, of course, considerable testimony tonight. Yes, in critical areas, so it'll be quite a limited time probably for this tomorrow.
Well, but I don't see how you could handle critical areas in this boat tomorrow.
I don't think that they've come even as far as we have in our thinking, so that I suspect they'll be talking about rather a minor report.
Mr. Chairman, if I can make one other comment, I realize you're rushed on this, but number two and number three actually have some varying degrees of kind of tying together also. I think in terms of I think especially the Portland metropolitan area, for example, where you've got the four counties and also the Willamette Valley and the coast and even Central Oregon, where you've got the Deschutes Basin as being a common problem. That there may be some, I think, rationale to tie in these counties together on your concept of the county having the power to say no, and then maybe one individual from each county being part of a larger group to review those questions that are, to even plan those things that are broader in scope.
I would not tend to recruit the possibility. Seems to me figure out some way of allowing that flexibility to take place, creating a firm. In my area, I have to know that
misled you on that. They have to be constant boundaries for the car. And they don't have to be necessarily tied into the land use boundary.
Well, I think we definitely are interested in two of the plans, and I think we should present to both of them tomorrow. I hear no objection to that. We'll rule out number one. And we'll, as a subcommittee, we'll at this time not express any particular support for one plan over the other, perhaps, because it appears to me that it may well be that we would want to be a combination to work out all the details for this. First, I'd like to read that question back. Whether the county can be a coordinating and municipal entity that is more than, do more than coordinate what other things are doing, can impose express restriction rights for review. It would be more than a review, it would be a right to turn down, as I understand.
Well, does review give you that right?
Well, review might just be.
Well.
I would think of it in terms of being able to meld it together.
Or something, whatever that word is that you need to do. Review and comment, and then.
Review and comment means that somebody else would have the final decision.
Well, essentially, this would be the same car that we built into the area wide one in the bill the way it's written, would it not be? Where they don't. They have the power of review and the power of appeal. Now, that's the two powers we built into the cog area now. We could see whether we could. Put those directly with the county.
Those powers, I don't think, would have any legal problem. I think the legal problem would get to be that Clackamas County, Bill Lejon-Swegel, that his planning was not consistent with the overall Clackamas County plan, and go back to the drawing board and redo it.
Well, that would only take one clause to say that the county planning commission has responsibility
for county commissioners
their planning.
Probably want to go county commissioners because the planning commission would be a citizen body.
I think what we specifically want to know, and I don't know if we've got it in our words, is what power a county can have over a home rule city.
Yeah. That would be the issue, whether Unitilla County could overrule Pendleton on a plan.
What power can a
county
have over a home rule?
We have a
county-wide
plan.
Yeah, whether it's
the problem might be is if in fact, when you come up to the boundary line, and the county says, we've reserved this for agriculture, the city says, no, it's going to be annexed and developed.
And by the commission,
well, it's actually split, because what happens is that the city, Pendleton, for example, they say, we're going to annex that land to the city, and then the county loses jurisdiction. Now, under this concept, the county would not lose jurisdiction. And that becomes the nub.
Well, now, I want to make sure I do, because I expect that's what I want to answer for me. But in questions I understand now is, what power can a county have over a home rule city? The city, yeah. What power do they have? I mean, what do they have?
And if it's constitutional. Chairman, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask one other question, and that is, in your alternative, you would recommend, I think that there's still some open issue on the 14th, and I would hope that you just wouldn't close the door on it, because I think that I have to take a strong pitch at this. The land use planning ties together with the water and sewer planning, the open space planning, the highway planning. I think that it would be a, I don't mean to say a mistake in fact, but I think it would help the planning process by being able to tie these together. I realize the concerns and we're willing to look at other alternatives to getting this done. But I would hope that the issue of tying some type of a state planning system together with a land use planning system is not dead.
Thank you for those comments. Essentially, of course, that's what we have in the bill, and of course, this is what I had based my reputation on, and it seems to be somewhat tarnished now in this area. Nonetheless, I think now we have something to take back to the committee tomorrow, and we had one, Mrs. Spiegel. we'd like to make it as minimal as possible since we are late for lunch, but if you would give us your testimony before we adjourn.
Yeah, my name is Hazel M. Stevens, and I live in Clackamas County, and I noticed in reading through the bill that the Clackamas River, one of my prime concerns, is not listed as such. Or at least I don't interpret it as such. And the Clackamas is a very important river to the metropolitan area. At the present time, there are well over 90,000 people drinking the Clackamas River water. And we are continuously seeing the Clackamas River, shall we say, go down the drain. And I believe some very strong land use planning should be incorporated to include this vital river.
Mr. Stevens, this really is the wrong subcommittee to present. We've had, I have sat in with the other one, and they have heard this testimony, and I'm sure are taking this into consideration in their deliberations. But that this particular subcommittee doesn't deal with that particular area.
So you might wish
to come back and give us the full committee tonight, but other than that, I would say that this particular information has already been brought to the committee,
and I think
it's under consideration.
All right. Well, I'm in the wrong spot. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We've got a test.
No, I think it's that. Anything else from the board?